Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number 2 of a Basketball Friday on the Early Line. Yes, it is a Friday. Yes, this is the Spiz Grizz Network. Yes, that is Donnie Wrightside, and I am Ben Stevens. A huge weekend of college basketball on the horizon. It is night number 2 of the NBA following the All-Star break. We got plenty of hoops coming your way here in this second hour, and even a third, despite what they are trying to tell us on social media. This, a 3-hour show, Donnie Wrightside.
It is a 3-hour show. Subliminally, maybe a 2-hour show. We have so much action packed up to get to. Technically, right now, it is a 2-hour show as we still have 9 to 11 to go. So they nailed that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, a 9 o'clock start, 8 to 10, we'll take it if you're looking to restructure the schedule here on the Spiz Grizz Network. And what a night of basketball it was in the Pac-12. Washington State, Arizona, top 25 tilt. Washington and Arizona State, a thriller in overtime in Tempe. The Huskies win 74-72. I think we have some live clips from the recap of that game, if we can pull that up, between the purple of UW and the Fear the Fork Sun Devils. There it is. What a game it was last night in Tempe. The Huskies win 74-72. And their in-state foes also faced off against one another. Washington State, 21st in the country, fourth-ranked Arizona in Tucson. A recap of that game coming your way in just a moment. But now we welcome in our Sports Grid radio audience. Hour number 2 of a Friday on the Early Line, Sirius XM, Channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. He is Donnie. I am Ben. Washington State, Donnie, ranked for the first time in the AP Top 25 this week since 2008. That's more than 360 weeks that Wazoo was not in the AP Top 25. This week, they are for the first time since 2008. And with the number 21 next to their name and a 12.5-point dog last night on the road in Tucson, the Cougars win outright 77-74. In their last 6 games as an underdog in Pac-12 play, the Cougs have won outright in all 6. Maybe Wazoo under Kyle Smith should not be thought of as an underdog all that much more.
No, and also, yes, sweeping Arizona in the season series is pretty impressive here. And also, you have that angle of, hey, look, we're not going to let them sneak up again. They caught us on the road. Now we got them at home. We should easily win this game, as we saw a double-digit favorite here for Arizona, and it didn't work out here. But by the way, Ben, Pac-12, as we know, is going away. Are we going to bust out the Apple Cup and actually have Washington and Washington State smiling next to it and sharing that trophy because they both won over Arizona, the state of Arizona? I mean, we can get one more. Like, remember, what was it, the crucial conflict or whatever it was up for UCF and Connecticut here where they just put that away? Bring
civil
the Apple
conflict.
Cup. Yeah, civil. Exactly. Bring it back out here. We might have one final photo op here for the Apple Cup here, and I'm excited for it.
They both were in the state of Arizona last night. Would have been a great picture to add to those B-rolls that you saw scroll across your screen. As it stands from a trend perspective, top 25 matchups where both teams are ranked entering last night, the home team was 30-8 straight up. not against Washington State. 23-13-2 against the spread. Make that 23-14-2 ATS. And Arizona entered last night, winners of six in a row. They had covered in five of six, a double-digit favorite now 11 times in Pac-12 play, but just 5-6 against the number. Washington State, again, winning outright in its last six games, booked as a dog in Pac-12 play. Make that eight straight victories for Wazoo. Now 12-4 in Pac-12 play. That is the top spot in the Pac-12 conference standings. Washington State, a proud member of the Pac-2 starting next year, trying to make a statement one final time in Pac-12 conference action. Now we turn our attention to the National Football League. Early portions of this offseason, and we've got a new look for the LA Chargers. Of course, new head coach Jim Harbaugh, a reunion with his former offensive coordinator in the NFL in San Francisco, Greg Roman, who also worked in Baltimore with John Harbaugh. New OC for the Chargers, Greg Roman, saying this week, quote, "Can you imagine Justin Herbert with a great running game? We don't know, but I can imagine what it might look like. So that's kind of the vision," end quote. Donnie, we know at Michigan, Jim Harbaugh was a big believer in running the damn ball and establishing the run. Kind of a shot, though, by Greg Roman at Austin Eckler, I guess. But Eckler is involved in more than just the run game in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept because most of the new analytical guys will hear them like, we're out on the Chargers. You got a guy with a rocket arm. Let's run the football more. Bozos, what are you doing here? But it does make sense. And also, you're right. The way that Harbaugh likes to play football, establishing the line of scrimmage, dominating the line of scrimmage, working in the run game to set up the passing game. Now, granted, it's still the NFL, Ben. We're not going to run the football more than we pass with Herbert, a quarterback. That's a recipe for disaster. But all he's saying is, how nice would it be to start ahead of the sticks every single drive with a quarterback like Justin Herbert? It makes some sense. It's what Harbaugh does. Greg Roman is the new offensive coordinator there. You ever seen him in Baltimore? They were established on the running game and working off of that year. It's a great mesh here. And if you were looking to get an offensive coordinator that fits with Harbaugh, who's been with him in the past, Greg Roman is your guy for that.
Yeah, absolutely so. Now, here are the overall odds for the L.A. Chargers and their two most important pieces, Herbert at the quarterback position and, of course, Jim Harbaugh as the coach, the new head coach in Los Angeles. Harbaugh, by the way, the favorite at 8-1 to win the NFL Coach of the Year award. Again, to win that award, you need to lead your team to the postseason. Can Jim Harbaugh do that? With the Bolts, Justin Herbert, 13-1 to win the NFL MVP award at this moment, sixth best price of the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yeah, if we're asking which wager would you actually rather have to be Harbaugh's coach of the year as opposed to Herbert, because you do think Herbert's going to have a very good year and make the playoffs. I do. But obviously winning that MVP, which means, hey, forget about the running game, throw for 4,500 yards and 40 touchdown passes. Maybe we're signaling a change here for the Chargers. That means we're going to be more physical. Yeah, Herbert's going to have a good year here, but Harbaugh has a great spot to step into, because if he steps into that spot, they win 11 football games, challenge Kansas City for the AFC West, and make the playoffs. He's going to get a lot of votes there for the coach of the year, and I agree with. The only thing holding them back, Ben, over the past couple years has been what? The head coaching position, making smart moves here. Harbaugh will be the head coach and make smart moves. Makes sense.
The Chargers have always had optimism, even with Brandon Staley as the head man. Is this the year the optimism is met by results and those expectations stack up in Los Angeles? 13-1 for the Chargers to win, 16-1 for the Chargers to win the AFC title, tied for the seventh best price right now alongside the New York Jets. The Seattle Seahawks creating a little bit less than $5 million worth of cap space, converting some of the contract structure for Geno Smith, who again will be on the roster regardless of what Seattle does with that 16th overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft. Back to basketball, our coach, James Young, joins us next. College first, NBA after, here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is time for the coach scouting report from our coach, James Young, live right here on this Friday on the Early Line all across Sports Grid. I am Ben. Donnie is on the right side, and JY is the man in the middle for the next two straight segments. First with college basketball, then the association following the All-Star break. JY, we appreciate the time on this Friday.
Thanks for having me on, guys. It's a big day in the NBA, but some nice college basketball games highlighted by upset we'll talk about in a little bit.
Absolutely. So three top 25 teams in action last night. Number three, Purdue. Number four, Arizona, facing off against number 21, Washington State, ahead of a new huge weekend in college basketball, just over 3 weeks away from Selection Sunday. We will set the stage where things stand. We start first in West Lafayette inside Mackey Arena. Purdue upset on the road on Sunday in Columbus by Ohio State. You knew the Boilers were coming out with a vengeance. And boy, did they have a vengeance and an axe to grind last night against Rutgers. Back at home inside Mackey, nearly a 30-point win for the Boilermakers. Purdue victorious 96-68 over the Scarlet Knights. They cover as a 14.5-point home favorite. What does that resilience show you about Matt Painter's team, JY, in West Lafayette?
You know, Ben, we were talking during the break, and I had my, I guess, my Jersey bias kind of looking at the track record of Rutgers versus Purdue. But when Purdue loses, they usually thunder punch teams the next game. And I thought that was what I saw in the first half. Rutgers, one of the best defensive teams in the country. Folks, they don't like to give up 60 points in a game. They give up 52 at the half. And it's not – and you didn't have the Zach Edey, you know, 40-point game. I know he had 25 points in 27 minutes. And shout out to Zach Edey. Any big man who goes 11-11 from the foul line gets a shout out from a big man coach like myself. But to me, it just looked like a Purdue team that looked focused. And here's the thing to look at, folks. I know it wasn't so much Braden Smith, you know, even though he shot the ball only twice from three. When you shoot 12 for 23 from three, and you have a dominant big like Zach Edey, you're in trouble, right? Because the big man scoring down low, you can't stop him. Then you're giving up threes, and which I think it was plus 21 points at the three-point line for Purdue. If they can get those guys to shoot the ball from three well, Ben, along with Zach Edey scoring inside, as a coach, you are officially stuck because you won't want to eliminate one of the two things. If you can't eliminate both, you give up 96 points, and that's what Purdue did last night.
Coach, let's look forward here at Purdue because you brought up a great point here. They have three losses on the season, and every game after that loss, they absolutely put the team away, whether it be Iowa, Penn State, and or as we just saw with Rutgers. Four games left in the season, but here's the question. Once you get to March Madness, Coach, hey, we lost that basketball game. Well, let's crush the next team we play. There is no tomorrow in there. How do we trust Purdue knowing what we've seen over the past couple years, and is this a better version of Purdue from what we've seen the past previous years?
You know what, Donnie? I think it is. I think because what you have is my issue with Purdue, folks, has never been about the big man. It's always been about guard play and the ability for their guards to knock down shots. But if you got Jones shooting at 37%, Smith shooting at 43%, Laurie shooting at 41.3%, and Gillis coming off the bench shooting at 48.8%, that is going to be where Purdue can make their run. It's not the big man, folks, because listen, once you get into the tournament, the game slows down. They're going to cut the head off at the snake, which means it's Zach Edey. If their guard play can shoot the ball, they're going to make a run. I think this team is a Final Four team. I think they're one of the four best teams in the country, and I think they can do it. It's just about making shots. So plus 800, yes, they're – I mean, I don't know if you would call that a value. Ben obviously will get asked me, so I'm not calling them a value because they're one of the top plays right now. But I do think Purdue is positioned to make a deep run in March, provided the guards shoot the ball the way they're shooting it this year.
One of us would say here out of the three that Purdue, despite having the tie for the second best price to win a title because they're not the favorite, they might be a sleeper to creep up on UConn, an 8-1 price for the Boilermakers, who have not reached a Final Four in more than four decades since the 1980 NCAA tournament. Is this the team to change that narrative in West Lafayette? Pac-12 battle last night. 21st-ranked Washington State, a 12.5-point road dog in Tucson against 4th-ranked Arizona. The Cougs, JY, ranked inside the AP top 25 for the first time since 2008. and they win outright 77-74 last night over the Cats as a 12.5-point underdog. What statement did Wazoo make last night?
That they're a team to be reckoned with. And what a great job Coach Smith has done with this team and how they have played. And it's really just been a tremendous story of Washington State and how they do things. Remember, folks, they beat Arizona at home earlier this year. And when you look at a team like Washington State, you forget the shot, right, that Jalen Wells hit. I mean, guys, this kid was a 19.5-point-per-game scorer last year. The kid can flat-out score. And he actually took over the game. And I think if you think about what I just talked about with Purdue, right, when you are a team, you have to do one of two things, right, which is you cut the head off at the snake, right, or and let everybody else kind of score, or vice versa. What happened was is they let Caleb Love shoot a ton of shots, right? 27 points. But when you look at a team like them, you got to get the ball inside the ball out. Like, that is the key. The guy is number, I think, 2 in field goal shooting percentage in the Pac-12. He's one of the most effective players in the league, and he gets 8 shots a game. So when you get the ball inside to the big man, you're able to score and open up the floor. What they did is they said, we're going to let Caleb shoot, right? We're going to kind of lock down Balo, Johnson, everyone else. And it was a tremendous strategy that worked off of Washington State. And this is a team, folks, that can defend the ball. They're going to be in games, and they got a guy in Wells who can be a closer.
Trusting Arizona here, Coach, at a 14-1 price here at the FanDuel Sportsbook to cut down the nets in March Madness. We haven't had a lot of movement here, even though some of these teams have lost, in particular with Connecticut at a 5-1 price, followed by Houston 8-1, and then Purdue with that big bounce-back win yesterday, as we saw up against Rutgers. Give us some teams here at the top, because it's easy to say, hey, UConn's going to win it, Houston's going to win it. Are there any teams that over the final 4 to 5 games can start to change your mind on whether or not they can cut down those nets?
You know what the crazy thing is? These teams are all so flaky. Like, you can make a case, well, all right, Carolina can make a one. They've had bad losses. You can look at Iowa State and the way they defend. They can have bad losses. I think Auburn, to me, I know they got blown out. Marquette at 25-1 is starting to get enticing, because I think this is a team that can get to the Final Four, right? They defend. They got a star point guard in Tyler Kolek. Their experience, and I think experience, guys, I think it matters. Now, Creighton was at 45-1 before UConn. They're now moved to 30-1. So they've sliced their price tremendously just in one win. Kalkbrenner, Alexander, Shireman. I forget the one kid that went off last game. They can do it, folks. But to me, you got to look at teams that have experience, that have senior leadership, guys that have been there before. I am not in on Arizona because I feel like Caleb Love has shown his propensity to shoot too much and shoot you out of games. This is what happened at Carolina. It's going to rear its ugly head again. I cannot get behind Arizona to win a national championship. I can't get Arizona at 3-1 to get to the Final Four. I'd rather place my money elsewhere.
Arizona right now, 6th most efficient offense in the country, 13th best on the defensive side of the basketball, according to KenPom. Those really good metrics entering the tournament. But when you think about those senior veteran point guards, Tyler Kolek for Marquette, paired with Cam Jones, and maybe even for Creighton, the guy you misremembered, Stephen Ashworth, with a huge game against UConn. Maybe it's a team out of the Big East. Now around the association with JY next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Night number one following the All-Star break in the association. It is night number two on this Friday. Double-digit games once again. A 10-game Friday slate. JY here for a second consecutive segment. Our coach gives us the scouting report in this home stretch, the playoff push following the All-Star break in the NBA. JY, we start with recaps, then we will go to previews and some picks for tonight's action on a Friday in the NBA. But on a Thursday night, What a marquee slate it was, featuring game after game, specifically in the Western Conference, between conference championship contenders. We start with two of the three best in the Western Conference, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Los Angeles Clippers. OKC, a very slight home favorite last night against the Clips, just minus 118 on the money line, and the Thunder make a statement. 129-107, the victory for Oklahoma City over LA. What is your main takeaway, JY, from last night's affair in OKC?
OKC can compete. And regardless of what we think about youth, youth and inexperience only matters until they prove it otherwise. And I thought last night was a perfect example of a young team that, while has one of the best records in the Western Conference, people were looking at the lack of experience that they have. And when you have all five of your starters get the double figures with at least one, with Josh Giddey giving you only 12, that shows a team that's got a lot of balance. I know you can look at SJ and look at the 31 points, but you get 18 out of Williams, 17 out of Chet with a double-double, 19 out of Lou Dort, who's more of a defensive guy, but knocked down 3 out of 6 threes. This is a team that is extremely dangerous. When you can go ahead and shoot 49% from three, now I know it's one game, that gives you the chance that you have shot-making ability and shot creativity. Oklahoma City, Mark Daigneault has done a great job with this team, and they showed why they're one of the best teams in the West, and honestly, Ben, one of the most explosive teams offensively.
It's an 82-game season. We know it's a long marathon in the NBA, but coming out of the All-Star break, it turns in, JY, to more of a sprint at this point. And if there's one game that you needed to see at Oklahoma City, and rightfully so, maybe even not rightfully so, moving down the stretch, they're a top-two seed right now, but we keep on getting back to, oh, when the games really mean something, let's see what Oklahoma City has. That was an awesome statement game out of the All-Star break to handle their business against a team they're going to be jockeying for position with down the stretch on seeding. I loved what I saw. You know what else I loved what I saw last night? The Dallas Mavericks at home picking up a 10-point victory over the Phoenix Suns. Two things for me in this game, JY. Obviously, we know the star power, when healthy here for the Mavericks, is really, really good. Kyrie was sensational along with Doncic yesterday, was thoroughly impressed by them. But the Phoenix Suns, the questions that keep coming up for me, Coach, are, look, we're going to wait to the playoffs. Hopefully they're healthy. They weren't healthy in the big three last night, and they lost. What can you give me as something to look forward to for the Phoenix Suns the rest of the way? Will they be healthy, and can we trust them, Coach?
I don't know. Like, I really don't know, because you come out of the All-Star break and Beal's out. Like, this team, it's hard for you to sit here now, although I love Phoenix, I think they can do it. They are so close to being in this play-in tournament. And I just think, I know you talked about it last week, I heard you. Like, you don't want a part of the play-in tournament. As a coach, one or two bad games and you're knocked out, I don't want that. I want the seven-game series. I don't want to have to worry about it. So to me, the problem when you have with Phoenix is, without, I know Eric Gordon gave you 16, but you have literally a top-loaded roster, right? You have three guys that have to do a majority, the bulk of the lifting, and you don't have the depth. I know they got Royce O'Neal, right? I know they got David Roddy at the deadline. I get it. I know. But I don't know if this team could actually put it together. They have a lot of Brooklyn Nets in them with a big three that have not been together enough, and can they turn it on when it counts? Remember when they got to the playoffs, folks? What happened with the Nets? They weren't healthy. This is something that's going to continue to be a problem with Phoenix the rest of the way. The problems will not go away. And you have to wonder, folks, also, who is their stopper? Look at that starting lineup, right? I know Grayson Allen is an underrated defender, but they don't have a perimeter guy that could, like a Drew Holiday, a Marcus Smart, a top perimeter guy, OG Anunoby, to go say, go lock that guy down. They don't have it. So when games come down the stretch, other teams are going to be able to score on them because they don't have a guy that can stop someone.
And no Bradley Beal last night for the Phoenix Suns in the first game out of the All-Star break. The loss for Phoenix, 33-23. The win for Dallas, make that seven straight, also 33-23. The Mavs move up to the sixth seed. Phoenix falls into that seventh spot, which would be inside the play-in tournament out west if the season ended today. Of course, it does not. JY, I think there's some really interesting things in the Western Conference based on results, record standings, and then correlated to the odds market as we showed those odds. Just 2.5 games separates the top four teams in the West: Minnesota, OKC, LA, and Denver, in that order. Where do you think the tiers of distinction are from the odds board to win a Western Conference title?
Well, it, you said it best, Ben, and we've talked about it a couple of times. It's all going to come down to matchups, folks, right? So if you look at the matchup that they have in the Western Conference, if the season ended today, you have Denver playing New Orleans, and then if they Denver-New Orleans, then they would play Minnesota, right? So if you look at it, that's an easier path right now than the other side of the bracket, which is OKC, which is the Clippers, and if everything ended the way it would, even with the play-in tournament, Dallas, Phoenix. That is a real hard bracket. So you're going to see movement, literally, Ben, you said it, daily. You're going to see movement and based on who matches up with who. Now, if you look at the West, if you think about it, yeah, Denver should probably be the favorite if that's the path they got to get to the finals, because you let everybody else on the other side of the bracket knock each other off. But that being said, that could all change in a day or two. Denver could get a win. Clippers can get a loss. Denver goes to 3, and you'll see the odds shift again. So be mindful of when you go to place the bet, matchups. And it's so tight, Ben, you can't really predict where they're going to all end up, because it's all going to end up so close, especially 5, and if the Lakers can get hot, all the way to 9 or 10 with Golden State.
Odds will be shifting certainly tonight. Why? The NBA setting us up for a couple really good basketball games tonight, starting Milwaukee Bucks and the Minnesota Timberwolves. We saw yesterday OKC say, you know what, we're going to hold serve here and try to get that number one overall seed. Let's see if Minnesota can return the favor. And also the question marks that are coming up for the second half of this season here with those Milwaukee Bucks and Doc Rivers. Is he cut out to be the head coach? Well, he's going to be there for at least the next 3 to 4 years with that $40 million contract extension to be the head coach. They're actually underdogs tonight. The Timberwolves are a 4-point favorite currently at the FanDuel Sportsbook and a 225 total. Coach, talk to me about this game tonight. Bucks, T-Wolves, right out of the All-Star break.
This is a great matchup right out of the All-Star break. And I know this may sound crazy. I think I'm going to go with the Bucks in this matchup, because I think there's so much, guys, there's so much pressure on Doc right now, especially the way he came into the All-Star break. I think he's 3-7, if I'm not mistaken, as a head coach of Milwaukee. So he's got to come in, and they got to win games. And they got to win games, and they have to win games right off the jump for a team that had not covered the spread the last two games. Remember that 113-110 loss at Memphis before the All-Star break. Minnesota, yes, they've been pretty good, and they've covered, I think, the last 4 games against the spread. Big spot here. Remember, folks, at Milwaukee, 129-105, if I'm not mistaken, Minnesota got the win. So this is a chance for redemption. I'm going to take the Bucks plus the points on the road. I think they got to come out the break really hot.
That was the only game for the way, by the way, for Milwaukee under Doc Rivers that went over in the 10 games he's been on the sidelines, 9 of the 10 under. Milwaukee is covered in all 3 wins under Doc Rivers, but 4 times as a dog, they have lost outright and not covered the spread under Glenn Doc Rivers. 2 teams, JY, facing off tonight in Philadelphia that both lost their opener out of the All-Star break. No Donovan Mitchell. Weirdly, last night for Cleveland, Orlando wins outright as a 5.5-point road dog in the land. Now, Cleveland goes on the road to take on the Sixers, who were home last night, second leg of a back-to-back. They lost by 14 to the New York Knicks. A 3.5-point spread in favor of the Cavaliers, who won 18 of 20 entering the All-Star break, who bounces back with a win in their second game after the break tonight.
I have concerns with both teams, right? And we've talked about it. The two small guard lineup of Garland and Mitchell, the antiquated offense of having two bigs in Allen and Mobley. But Philadelphia, folks, they just don't look right without Joel Embiid. They just don't look right. And I just think this is a team, folks, that they are just going to have to, I hate to say it, like tread water until Joel Embiid comes back. And that's why you keep seeing their odds in the Eastern Conference keep going further and further and further away. Now it's 16-1 to make it. I think this is the game with Donovan Mitchell. He's back. I'll take Cleveland minus the points. I know they bounce back. I know about teams playing back-to-back home-home. I think this is a big game for Cleveland because Cleveland's got to prove also, kind of like Milwaukee, what are they? Because they've been hot. Bad start after coming out, losing at home to Orlando. I think they bounce back because they have Spider back tonight.
Spider does have a points prop listed already on the FanDuel Sportsbook. A little bit after 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, it is 27.5. That is a good indication if there is a prop out that Donovan Mitchell will return tonight. JY, have a great weekend, my friend. You looking forward to some college basketball tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what's better than me and Scotty Farrell for 4 hours? I may get about four words in an hour, but I'm more with Scotty Farrell. 12-4.
Hit that fadeaway to the break. We'll see you tomorrow here on The Grid. NFL talk. College football talk next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two rolling along right here on the early line on a Friday morning edition. And most people tune into the show on Friday mornings be like, man, it's usually a football Friday. Well, we got a special for you right now. Donnie Wrightside, Ben Stevens. Here's a football Friday edition with some college football action. Now, hot topics over the past couple of days, Ben, have been what? The college football playoff expansion. Both myself and Ben agree. Let's get the 24 teams, 36 teams, 48 teams in the college football playoff because it makes everything better. So, as we preface this segment to kick off, we're going to take a look at some of the better football teams that we anticipate next year. But let me start off with this, because we are handicappers by nature here. With the advent of the new playoff, which means more teams get in, Ben, talk about the regular season, because typically we're going to hit team win totals, which are so important, which in the past were like, hey, look, you get one loss here. There's no guarantee you can even make it into the college football playoff. It looks like now you can afford that one loss. Does that change your handicapping strategy moving forward in 2024?
Absolutely so. That is the only point I agree with that my co-host Donnie Wrightside led off this segment with. Nothing about expansion past 12 teams. Just wanted that clearly on the record. But that is the key, DRS. Oh, I just noticed something here. We've got incorrect years, but that's fine on these boards. It should be 2024, but that's all right. As we look at 2024, when you will cash that win total only in the regular season, it is very important to pay attention to what the win totals look like, not only for your consideration in the college football playoff, but mainly DRS because of these expanded conferences and realignment. Mm-hmm. When you play in the Big Ten and you now add in Oregon, UCLA, USC, and Washington, you have a super conference. The days of Ohio State really only having to worry about a non-conference slate. They dominate Penn State and then whatever the game looks like against Michigan for that margin of error, trying to stay 11-1 or 12-0. The days of walking to 9 conference wins are out. The days of walking to 11 wins in a regular season, even for the best teams in these power conferences, are done. Just based on who you are going to have to play and what the schedules will look like now in these super conferences, and one big component as well, without divisions. It's why when you look at the SEC right now, two teams have a 10.5 win total. That is Georgia and Texas, not Alabama. Alabama's win total is 9.5, and the under has the juice. All of that will play for the college football playoff, but the big thing in terms of win totals, Donnie, is really your conference schedule now in these realigned leagues.
Let's take a look at down in the SEC coming up here in the 2024 season. You take a look at the Georgia Bulldogs team win total, which you're going to get used to this number here. It's 10.5. Why? Most teams are playing the 12-game season here, which affords one loss. You cannot have two losses in the SEC in order to win the East, then make it to the SEC championship game and on into the playoffs here. Give me an outlook here because the Georgia Bulldogs, one of the higher echelon teams over the past couple of years, can they get back to that national championship status? What are we looking at for the Georgia Bulldogs next year, Ben?
Yeah, I do believe that Georgia will be right back out there. I believe them having the highest win total in 2024. I do want to make that distinction. It says the 2025 odds. That's when the season will end overall with the expanded college football playoff. But this is the 2024 season. The regular season will only go through the calendar year 2024. It makes sense to me to have Georgia with the best win total in the SEC, 10.5, the over, a slight bit of juice at minus 115. But again, pay attention to what the schedule looks like this year for the Bulldogs, a non-conference game against Clemson. They will play Alabama in the regular season for the first time in a long time. I believe just the second time in a regular season against the Crimson Tide since 2015. Compare it to the cupcake schedule last year for Georgia, where their win total was 11.5. To go undefeated, the over had some plus money at plus 116. The Bulldogs were able to accomplish that. They lost in the SEC championship game, and of course that kept UGA out of the college football playoff. I think Georgia will be right back there, and when you have Carson Beck returning at your quarterback spot, that is a huge key for this Bulldogs team. So much returning talent defensively as well for Kirby Smart. I don't know if I would take the over, however. And let me just say this. If Georgia goes 10-2, we never saw a two-loss team in the 10-year history of the four-team college football playoff format reach the CFP. If Georgia goes 10-2, they might be in line to still play in Atlanta in the SEC championship game the opening weekend of December, and they would certainly be in consideration as well, Donnie, even as a two-loss team for one of those seven at-large bids to the college football playoff.
And how about spanking Florida State as a jumping-off point into the next season? Because everybody who thought Florida State would make it into the final, if they were going to make it into the college football playoffs, no. Keep them out of it. Right move here. Still reminiscing about that beautiful 2023 Final Selection Sunday where they kept Florida State out, and rightfully so. So I'll get that last shot in here on 2023 Florida State. Let's keep it moving forward. The Ohio State Buckeyes looking for a bounce back this year. NIL money maybe making its way up there to Columbus as they are fortifying that football team ahead of another run. They say, you know what? Yeah, Michigan might have won it last year. We're never going to let that happen again. 10.5 is a win total as well. National championship place at plus 480. The Ohio State Buckeyes, Ben.
Yeah, and this is the best win total in all of college football entering 2024. 10.5. The over has the heavy juice at minus 150. Now, in the realigned Big Ten, of all the potential most difficult schedules you could have, the Buckeyes do not. And in terms of what Ohio State brings back, Ryan Day could not ask for more. With a couple of transfer additions, like Caleb Downs defensively from Alabama, an all-SEC freshman of the year, and offensively, Will Howard, the quarterback from K-State, the new QB in Columbus, and you add in Quinshon Judkins as the running back from Ole Miss to pair alongside Travion Henderson. And with Chip Kelly as the new offensive coordinator, I think Ohio State is going to have one of the five best rushing attacks and offenses all season long. I would actually lean with where the over has the juice at minus 150 and take the over. I think Ohio State, even in how difficult the Big Ten is going to be in the overall landscape of college football, with the Buckeyes not having a very difficult non-conference slate, I think Ohio State will win at least 11 games. And I actually would look at Ohio State right now, and not Georgia, as the best price to win a national championship. I believe the Buckeyes deserve to be favored. That's where I would stand on the Bucks entering 2024.
Let's take a look at those Texas Longhorns here. SEC action, 10.5, also is a win total. And some would say, like, hey, why would you schedule out a conference or make it tougher on yourself? Well, they're going to play at Michigan here September 7th. And then you see the likes of the Red River rivalry, still going to have Oklahoma there. But now you take a look at Florida, Arkansas, Kentucky, an SEC schedule, which also includes Georgia here. Sark just got that big payday here. High expectations down there in Austin. Will they prevail this year?
So that's the really big thing. I think if Texas was playing in the Big 12 once again, they would be an odds-on favorite before the year even started to win a conference championship, and I might even bet that price. It'd probably be heavily skewed toward a 2-to-1 number in minus money as well. But this is the first year, the inaugural campaign within the SEC, where it is not going to be as easy as Big 12 past for Texas. Their first conference championship, by the way, last year since 2009. On the road at Michigan in the Big House, Now, the defending national champs are not necessarily as loaded as they were a season ago. Maybe it's not as difficult as one would think on paper, but it's still a road game in Ann Arbor, second weekend of the year. Again, 10.5 the win total for the Longhorns, the only other SEC team alongside Georgia that has a double-digit win total. Unlike Georgia, though, slight juice on the over, slight under juice here for the Longhorns. I do believe they will get to double-digit wins, but the slate is not easy. A matchup against Georgia in Austin, middle of October, that's going to be a pivotal game to decide the fate of the SEC and which teams play in the SEC championship. And welcome back some rivalries as we keep some historic rivalries. With both OU and Texas heading to the SEC, the Red River rivalry in Dallas will still be early in October. Texas will play against Texas A&M for the first time in a long time. And that game will be in College Station to end out the regular season. That's going to be a lot of fun. I do believe Texas gets the double-digit wins. I think the Longhorns will be a college football playoff team, maybe even battling it out for an SEC championship in its first year in the league. I'm not sure I would bet the over of that 10.5 win total.
Uncharted territory here also for other teams such as Oregon, making the move from the no longer existence of the Pac-12 into the Big Ten here, which finds them having a massive game Saturday, October 12th, against the Ohio State Buckeyes at Austin here. Some changes at the quarterback position, new league as they move into. Give us some thoughts here on the Oregon Ducks coming up for 2024.
Yeah, Oregon's new Big Ten schedule, again, not as difficult as it could potentially look like. Really, the two hardest games for Oregon, at least played away from Autzen, on the road in the Big House to start off November, on the road in Camp Randall in Wisconsin in the middle of November. That's going to be a brutal awakening to go out to Camp Randall in the middle of November. But they have Washington to end out the year, keeping the border rivalry alive. They have Oregon State early in the year. What will the Beavs bring back after Jonathan Smith makes his way to Michigan State? Outside of that, they do get Ohio State at home. And again, like in the SEC, only two teams with a double-digit win total. That's Georgia and Texas in the SEC. In the Big Ten, it's Ohio State, best win total on the board, and the Oregon Ducks, minus 122, the juice on the under. The Ducks should be feeling great after last season, despite coming up short in the Pac-12 championship game. Bo Nix is gone. Dylan Gabriel is the new quarterback for Oregon. Dan Lanning remains, recruiting as at an all-time high. The talent on this roster is really second to none all around college football and in the Big Ten. What is Oregon going to do in its first year in the conference? That remains to be seen. Again, double-digit wins, I believe, for the Ducks. And that's the next part to discuss here, Donnie, because unlike years past, if you lost double-digit games, you were not making the college football playoff. Maybe you were in the debate. Maybe you were in the conversation. But we never saw a two-loss team in the 10-year history of the four-team format in the CFP. Now there is going to be multiple two-loss teams. There might even be a three-loss team into the college football playoff if you hail from the Big Ten or the SEC, which I actually think keeps the regular season more enticing for the entirety of it. Because if Oregon stumbles in its first few Big Ten games and already loses two by the middle of October, their season would have been done in years past. Now with where the landscape is in CFB, Oregon's still very much in the running for a college football playoff spot.
Love the way you see it as well, because there will be more meaningful football. How about this? Happy Valley still could be happy in the month of November. It's never happy in the month of November as it goes down. You take a look at the Grove down in Ole Miss. Are you kidding me? Two losses there in November and still trying to play for a national championship. I think it all makes sense next year. It'll be a lot of fun. But also, as we talk about so many times, like even in Major League Baseball, hey, what's the pitch clock going to do? You take away the shift. How's that all going to be analyzed? We're going to be doing that much of the season next year, just getting used to not only the new changing landscape here with the college football playoff, Ben, but at the same time, getting used to seeing teams like Texas in the SEC and Oregon in a Big Ten battle. Should be a lot of fun to watch you play out here, but that's how we do it on a Football Friday, talking some college football right here on the early line in the month of February here. Stay tuned next, because we're going to go fading the public here. And get this, it's not an NBA poll. How about that?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out hour number two of this Friday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. It's Ben, it's Donnie, and of course, it is the Sports Grid app, the ultimate sports betting companion app available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store. Scan that QR code right there on your screen for all of our insight and information available in the palm of your hand. Not an NBA fade the public poll, one around the NFL draft. Caleb Williams is a minus 1,500 favorite to be the first overall pick. It seems like a pretty sure thing he is going one of one. But who is number two? Who is the second best quarterback prospect in the 2024 NFL draft? That was the question for you all in Fade the Public. At SportsGrid TV on Twitter, other than Caleb Williams, who was the best QB prospect in the NFL draft? Drake May, Jaden Daniels, or other? And if you said other, you better reply. And we got some replies. We start there. Mammoth Hops saying J.J. McCarthy, Jared Clayton, Michael Penix Jr., Blue Water Bob, also Michael Penix Jr. But in terms of the actual votes, nearly 56% going with the Heisman winner out of LSU, Jaden Daniels, in front of Drake May.
Yes, and for me, other than Caleb Williams, who is the best quarterback prospect in the NFL draft, I read it as who is the best prospect in the NFL draft. So I voted other and was going to vote for Marvin Harrison Jr. And then before this segment came up, I realized you did have to pick a quarterback here. So I can't change it. Yeah. I can't run a burner account through there and just erase my vote as other. But I would say Drake May. So I'm going to actually fade a little bit of the public here at 32.5%. I'll go Drake May in this one, even though I did want to go. By the way, maybe Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah. is a better quarterback than both of those guys anyway. So I might be right.
Maybe. I mean, I love you, man. Let me count this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. QB was the ninth word in the sentence, and you just completely overlooked it. Just completely overlooked it. Hour three continues this debate in less than a minute.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.